Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Mark the Q. I am your host. I'm very privileged to have a very talented actor, a model, and a musician. He was recently on The Vampire Diaries on the CW and very successful episodes as well. And very, very multi-talented individual. We've got Drew Stephenson on with us right now. How you doing, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're talking a little bit about, you know, when you were on the Vampire Diaries and the reaction that you've been getting off of Twitter and all that as well. I mean, what does it mean to you to get so much support from the community and, you know, so much love for your appearance on the Vampire Diaries?
Oh, man, it's honestly surreal and it's really crazy and it's a blessing, especially because it's good feedback, of course. You know, you always kind of want that. But you get that feeling of like fear, like, well, what if they don't like me, or what if it doesn't work, or what if my choices weren't the choices that everyone would have thought, or what if it didn't come off right? And then when it comes out, you kind of get all that release, and then you kind of see what the feedback and the outpour is, and it's kind of like this feeling and this moment of relief for you.
What was it like for you to work with the cast? I mean, they've been doing this show for, you know, quite a few years now. What was it like working with the cast and kind of, you know, getting acclimated with the cast? And did you learn anything on the set?
Oh, man, I learned a lot, especially the first episode. Paul Wesley directed it. It was episode 611, Woke Up With a Monster. And that was kind of the first episode that I did. And he kind of directed me in a way, especially at the beginning of the episode, that kind of let me know different techniques and different approaches to how to kind of get the look and the feel that you wanted out of a character. And just playing around with just the different things they had, especially the special effects in the second episode with Jeffrey Hunt, who directed that one, who's a legend in himself, directed Gotham, you know, directed Sleepy Hollow, and having him and working with him and kind of taking notes from him has just kind of been a tremendous and great experience for me. It's been surreal.
Well, here's hoping he made a big enough impression. He may catch any over at Gotham, because Gotham's doing a very good job right now. I mean, you know, you're starting out in your acting career. You're kind of a little bit early on as well. I mean, what does it mean to you to have some of these opportunities come at you in terms of with television gigs and all that as well? What does it mean to you to kind of, you know, hit the ground running with some of these TV episodes?
It's a very crazy feeling, and as far as the meaning, I would just say it's almost like the world, because it's pretty much what you've gotten accustomed to. You've gotten accustomed to the life without booking anything. Like, I've done this for quite some time, and, you know, you get used to that. So when you do get that opportunity, and when it's not only recognized, but it's recognized in a positive light, it's kind of like a surreal moment. You don't expect it, and you just kind of take it as it comes, you know?
Now I mentioned that you had started out as a model. Kind of tell me how you got kind of got into the modeling aspect first of all.
Oh, that was funny. I was at school, and they had a modeling troupe, and I didn't know about it, and I didn't really even know if I wanted to do it. And a friend of mine told me that I should try it out, try to go out for it. I'd be a good fit. And so one thing led to another, and I booked the Sean John Runway fashion show that he did here in Atlanta, which was a pretty big event. And I shook Sean John's hand. I shook Diddy's hand right before I walked out onto the stage. And at that moment, I was like, you know, maybe I could actually do this. Maybe this is something that I might want to pursue. So I started playing around with it, started getting into it, getting involved, and the more I got involved with it, the more I liked it. The more it was different than I thought it was from the outside looking in. Like, the more positive light to it. It's really like art, in a sense. And then one thing led to another, and now this art has taken me to another, which is acting.
Yeah, you know, I've had other models on before, and I tell them that, you know, that it's, you know, a lot of people may think that it's an easy job. It's not an easy job. I mean, what was probably the biggest lesson you've learned as a, you know, when you were doing your modeling and doing that part of your career?
Never take it personal. That would probably be the biggest thing I've ever learned. Nothing is personal. Everything is about game, essentially. It's whether or not we can use your look to potentially gain interest from other clients, to potentially book campaigns, to potentially book with our typical region of campaigns. Some modeling agencies may be typical Polo. Others may be typical Calvin Klein. Some may be European. Some may be strictly editorial. And you may look as a commercial model, a good commercial model who would be a good fit in Atlanta or L.A., who may not be that fit for the unique New York look, you know, the different type of genre. So you just have to kind of understand that your lane may be different than anybody else's lane and to never take it personal. Just continue to push through.
We kind of see a little bit of that in Hollywood too, where you know they do take looks into account. But at least with acting, you can change a little bit in terms of you know for certain roles or you know certain things that you need to do as well. So obviously that's a little bit of freedom for you.
Yeah, and that's the fun part. You know, you get to play something that you're not.
Now, you know, you got into modeling. Was this the first time you got to travel a little bit worldwide?
Well, at that point in time was when I got to do it a little bit more. At first, I would do it, and it would be like family visits, or it would be more of a kind of a want. But now it became a want and a need to expand, and a want to continue to see the world.
What was probably your favorite place to visit?
London, of course. The UK has been, besides the weather, the weather is exactly what people think it is. It is dreary most days. It will snow, be 90 degrees, and a monsoon in the same day, the same 24 hours. You just never know what to expect. But on those rare, beautiful occasions in the UK, in London, you can go down to Piccadilly Square. You can go down there and just enjoy like a cold drink and see some scenery that you'll never see anywhere else.
And there's so much of an acting history there, too. I mean, you know, Shakespeare's from the area, and there's just so many, and there's so many great actors that have come from London, too. So it's really kind of a hotbed of acting
yeah.
outside the United States. So, speaking of which, we were talking a little bit about, you know, you obviously are still learning the craft a little bit more. You mentioned that you're kind of, telecommuting, I guess. I say telecommuting, but you've been basically bipostal going to L.A., to New York, to Atlanta as well. Tell me a little bit about, you know, going through that learning process and learning with several different teachers in all three cities.
Well, any good teacher will tell you that you don't want to be a reproduction of one individual teacher. That's all you'll be when you work under only one professor. So you want to experience with multiple directors, multiple professors, multiple teachers. You want to see what multiple casting directors are looking for because sometimes they may be looking for something totally different out of you. Sometimes one will look for more of you to come in dressed a certain way, dressed as the part. Others will need less of that because they can use their own imagination, and then you can come a little bit more rugged to the role but just more personal to it. Whereas you can go in for a director and have a totally different experience. So just to get all of those different environments and then pull them all together and create your own unique method and your own unique way to approaching acting is essential. So it's been kind of crazy, especially going to New York. I went there to New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts. And you work there and you work with guys and professors who are teaching you everything from Chekhov to typical commercial auditioning. And how commercial auditioning can potentially help you continue to have an income, even though it's not the job that actors typically want, because it's not the big Hollywood roles and like the Golden Globe Awards and all of those things. It's just what continues to generate public interest for a product and pay money to continue to fund you and your craft. And they'll teach you anything from that level on. And then in Atlanta, you learn more of the on-camera technique, the day-to-day stuff, and how to take care of the day players, the smaller roles, the five and unders. It's a different world, so you kind of need both. So it's really kind of interesting. I could talk about that all day, I promise.
Yeah, because it was interesting. I went to a panel. I was at Sundance a couple weeks ago, and actually, I think it was a couple weekends ago. And I was at the TV panel that was going on, and one of the actors who's going to be on the show Babylon coming up, she had mentioned that one advice that she had gotten as an actor was the fact that, you know, not to take everything that you're being offered, even if it's just for a paycheck. That there's certain, you know, feel free to pass some stuff, you know, obviously going to be a starving artist for a while, but yeah, it was interesting to hear, you know, their advice, because they, there's quite a few of them that gave really good advice as well. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously you have to kind of make your bones in this business, and, you know, a lot of people have done commercials. I mean, a lot of actors that, you know, mainstream actors have done, people that have won Oscars have done commercials. So, And obviously you have obviously a little bit of experience working kind of with advertisements too. So, that obviously is something that, may come a little bit more naturally to you.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's one of those things that actors battle with on a constant basis. I was watching an interview with my favorite actor, Denzel Washington, and he was talking about a role he had to pass on. And I believe the role was to play an African-American that they continued to try to kill and did everything from hang him in, to try to stab him, to shoot him, and they could not kill him. And he told them that that wasn't funny and that he shouldn't do the role for them. And, you know, he went in there and he talked to him about it. It didn't work out, so he passed on the movie. 6 months later, he got Cry of Freedom, got an Oscar nomination for it. And it's funny because when he said it, he was saying the same thing. Do not be afraid to pass on a role. The first few movies that you will make will pretty much divide or create your career. It'll make you. It'll make you or break you. And it's interesting because we have to battle with that. We have to continue to, like, tippy-toe dance on the line sometimes to find out when it is that time. When should we pass on this opportunity? Is this an opportunity that fits us personally, even though it's offered to us? You kind of have to have faith.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to know when, you know, and if your heart's not into the role, then you're not going to give a great performance. And I think that's important, too. You know, we talked, it seems like you do a lot of dramatic roles. Have you ever wanted to dip into comedy a little bit more?
You know, I'm hoping for more of that. I just did a movie audition for a Disney project, and I really, really loved it. I enjoyed it. It was comical. It was me on a daily basis. I'm normally a comical guy, just a laid-back guy, and I thought that role would fit me. And something like that is something I think the world needs to see more of, too. And I would love to do an action project, something like a Bad Boys 2, like a Will Smith type of project, even a Martin Lawrence type of project. Like, those look like so much fun to do. But drama seems to be where my strong point is.
Well, it'd be interesting. You know, even the comedies need a straight guy once in a while too. So here's hoping that you get some of those projects thrown your way. I mean, how much improv have you done in terms of your acting? Obviously, a lot of these directors kind of, you know, are kind of, you know, one of those things where they have to have some kind of improv to you. But, you know, how much of that have you kind of developed when you went to some of these directors?
You know, it just depends. Some scripts and some instances, they'll write out pretty much every stage direction for you. They'll write out every word you say, every line that you need to do. They'll block it, and there won't even be much blocking. So you can't do much of an improv to it because they'll pretty much have it down to a T. And then sometimes you'll walk on set, like I did with Jeffrey Hunt, and you'll realize, oh, we have special effects props, and, oh, I'm going to vamp out here, and, oh, this is going to happen. And there are all these unknowns, and so you kind of have to. You kind of put in a position where that part of your acting toolkit is needed. And that's what you do. You kind of build that toolkit over time, and it's been some time for me in this acting business where I built my craft, and now I need to pull different parts of my toolkits out at different times. The Coke Zero commercial I did, the whole entire half of that commercial is improv. They'll just say, oh, now he's here. Do a reaction to that event happening, and, like, you'll just have to kind of go with it. like the whole time. So it's one of those things that are necessary now.
Yeah. Now, have you done any stage work before you went into the film work, or are you kind of getting that through some of the lessons that you've been learning over these past couple of years?
You know, when I fell in love with acting, that's when I actually did my first stage play at that moment. And I fell in love with it when I started reacting on stage and started really falling in love with what was going on stage and started really living in the moment. A lot of actors will say that, be in the moment. I started actually being in the moment. And when I did that on stage, you get that immediate gratification. It's not like TV where you do it and months later it comes out and you find out what people think about it. When you do it on stage, people react immediately to what you give them, the energy you give them. Like, are you really in the moment? And little kids would laugh when I would do funny stuff. And, you know, people would ooh or ah, or people would just, like, feel emotional, you know, and you would hear the sighs in the audience when you did it, and you did it correctly. And that's when I fell in love with acting. My first stage play, I did it at Savannah State University. It was Before It Hits Home by Cheryl West, a really huge stage play at the time.
Yeah, you know, it's great to be able to see it, and we're seeing that a lot more often with a lot of actors, that they are going back to the stage for a little bit, you know, and you know, they're drawing a lot from Broadway, and I think that it's great for Broadway. I think Broadway had been on a low for a while, and now that we're seeing so many great actors and actresses go back to doing stage work, and they say they do miss it. It's great to be able to see that as well. So yeah, it's interesting to say the least. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting the fact that you also have a very big musical background as well. I believe I'm reading this correctly. You play the trumpet, piano, French horn, and tuba. You know, have you been playing lately any of those instruments?
Yes, ma'am. I've been playing them. Just personal. It's been a lot of production work. It's been a lot of me time with it and just working with it right now. I haven't pushed it as much as I have my other two careers in acting and modeling. It's definitely been one of those things that stuck with me over the years. Started playing the trumpet when I was 7 years old, and I continue to play it throughout. I was a band geek in high school, and I continue to play through college, and now I just play, and I just enjoy it. But we'll see what happens with it in the future. I hope to use it. I want to eventually get into score making and do that for film work as well. I want to get behind the scenes with my production work. So we'll see where it goes.
It would be interesting for you if you end up making your own film one day or whatever to score your own film. I mean, I don't think there's very many people that could say that they've done that. Maybe produced their own film and scored it as well. So. It'll be interesting. Maybe you'll put out a little bit of an album one day too. This is obviously something in your toolbox as well, especially the piano, because I know quite a few times I've seen people play piano in film. A lot of times they're kind of mocking it, but you know, there's quite a few people that actually do know how to play the piano, and it does look authentic as well. So, you know, it's nice to have that in the toolbox, right?
Definitely, definitely helps. You know, Jamie Foxx shows us plenty of times that you can play musical instruments from you know, Ray all the way through to, you know, the soloist. Jamie Foxx has showed us that playing these instruments can help us many, many, many times in film, and plenty others before him. So it definitely helps me out.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great to be able to see that as well. I mean, if you had a director that you would really want to work with, who would it be?
I really admired Spielberg, and I was really hoping to get on Red Band Society. I really want to work with him. But Spike Lee, I would have to say it would be Spike Lee.
Yeah, I'm hoping we hear a little bit more from him. I know he does projects once in a while, but
yeah, Spielberg, the Red Band Society got canceled. It didn't last as long as it should have. I was hoping eventually to get on that show as well, but you know, there'll be plenty of other opportunities. I'm sure he'll be around for a while. But yeah, Spike Lee is definitely one of my all-time favorites. I watch interviews on him all the time. You know, I watch him do all the movies he's done, you know, before School Days all the way throughout now. You know, working with every actor that I love, like Denzel. It just helps. So I've got to say he's probably going to be the one that I would really just be a fan over if I ever got on set with him.
Now, we were talking before we went on the show about, you know, Atlanta and how it's growing as a film market and a television market as well. I mean, what does that mean to you to be able to find jobs that are close to home?
It means a lot. It does. It means that opportunity is near, and it means that I need to be involved. I'm here. There's no excuse. I need to...
Yeah, and... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that it's great to, you know, be able to kind of drive home and, you know, be in your family, you know, after a long day's work or a weekend's worth of work in terms of that as well. And, you know, obviously there's, you know, it feels natural for you to be in the area.
And it feels great. It feels great to go on set for something like Vampire Diaries and then go home, you know, and just enjoy my normal day. Enjoy the rest of my normal day. So it feels great to have that opportunity here. You know, they're filming everything now. They just filmed a movie called, I believe, Nice Guys, like a few months ago, and they're going to be filming Captain America here. They're going to be filming so many other things here, so many things that we're auditioning for already, and pilot season's coming up, and there's all this opportunity, and it's not far. You don't have to go too far for it. So, you know, when you save that expense of travel, you create more opportunities for you here, too. So it does help. It helps
yeah.
a lot.
If I'm not mistaken, I think parts of Selma was actually filmed there too, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I would think they would. I would think they would stay in the Southeast. I would hope so.
Yeah. I think there was a couple of scenes that were, because I had an actor last week that was on Selma, and he is a local. He's actually from Savannah, so I think.
Oh, he might be with my
part
agency.
Of those. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you know, it's great, like I said, to be able to be around as well. What's coming up for you in the next couple months? Obviously, you said you're going out some auditions as well. Obviously, we don't know if you get those yet, but anything major coming up for you in the next couple months?
The biggest thing I've got is Complications, the show called Complications. It's going to be on the USA Network. We're not sure when it's going to be released. I'm not sure about it, at least. I still have to talk to the production staff about it and figure out if I can get a date on it, because it's not been released on IMDb or anywhere public yet. But I'm on the series premiere for that show, only the series premiere at this time. But we'll see. We'll see what else comes. I feel a lot of good things are in the works and a lot of good things are in the talks right now. And right now I'm working a lot with students. I'm working a lot with kids, going out to a lot of seminars, and I'm speaking on panels. And I'm, you know, just giving back as much as I possibly can for now.
Have you been out to Sundance at all?
Sundance, no, ma'am.
You need to
go
out.
I need to get out there.
Yeah, you need to get out there. Yeah,
you need to take me.
Get your face out there. Yeah, you'll have to come out next year. I mean, I think I'm planning on going back again next year. It was great to be able to meet so many great people out there, but there's so many people. It's kind of weird because it's kind of like. Hollywood microcosm, basically, for that week, because we get to see so many celebrities that are out on, basically just out on the street, you know, going up and down the street. You know, obviously a lot of them have their own little pet projects going on, but just to see the connections that you get, it's just unbelievable to be able to see that as well. I made so many connections myself over there. So, yeah, maybe that's something you have to think about next year. And maybe you'll be in one of the pieces that goes up to Sundance.
There's so many
great films here.
See, that's what I want to do.
Yep, fingers crossed on that. Hopefully, you get a piece this year, a movie this year that'll go up there as well. And I want to mention, you guys can follow Drew on Twitter at Drew Stevenson, and then. Drew Stevenson on Facebook, and I believe it's drewstevenson.com, is that correct?
It's drewstevenson.com, yep.
Okay, and we look forward to Complications. Hopefully that comes out soon. I believe The Vampire Diaries, if I'm not mistaken, is probably on demand online. I believe Hulu has the episodes on there as well. I'm pretty sure that they're probably up right now. So if you missed Drew's appearance on there, make sure you guys check that out as well. Anything else I'm missing, Drew?
No, you hit it all.
Well, Drew, like I said, congratulations on your successful tour. Hopefully we get to see you in some more major roles this year. When we do, hopefully we'll get you back on the show.
All right. See you soon. I promise.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Drew.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Drew Stephenson, everybody. You can check him out, like I said, at Drew Stephenson on Twitter. And it's DrewStephenson.com and also on Facebook. So make sure to check that out as well. Coming up on Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, we are continuing our series from the Sundance Film Festival. We're going to have two really talented individuals. One of them is the director, and one of them is the actual star of a movie, a documentary called 20 Years of Madness. Very interesting film. It's about group of individuals that did a cable access show back in the 90s, and they came back for a 20th reunion show. It's a really fascinating documentary if you get to be able to watch it. But we're going to be talking to Jerry Wright Jr., who was the main star, producers of the show and producers of the movie, and the director of that as well. So you guys can check that out on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Next week, we are going to have the head of a website that is called – I'm going to take a look and see if I can find that information for you guys. I've been talking about this past couple weeks that I'm going to have this on the show. Get this up here real quick, and I can give you the description of what's going on. Since Valentine's Day is coming up next week, I figured I would have these guys on. Let me move this down here. Come on. Come on, baby. Need to bring and take a look at this. Anyway, this website is a dating website, but it's not a date website as you would think of it. Yeah, come on. Browser is being a little bit of a weenie. Okay, Jeremy Weiss. Okay, there we go. David Reeler from SettleForLove.com. And since it's Valentine's Day, we're going to talk a little bit about this website. With the abundance of apps and websites, there's one idea revolutionizing it. SettleForLove.com takes the notion that no one is perfect and encourages people to reveal their flaws as well as their good attributes. It's going to be interesting to talk to David about this website. I really wanted him having on since I saw the news article about it on, I believe it was CBS this morning, that had a really great piece on him, and I really, really wanted to be on the show. So that's going to be going on next week, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see you guys coming up on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursday with Jerry Rice Jr. and Jeremy Royce from 20 Years of Madness from Sundance Festival. Make sure to check us out at SWIV on Twitter, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. Like I said, I have to get the website all updated as well, so we can show you some of these really impressive interviews we've had in the couple weeks. It's going to be a very packed couple weeks, and it's going to be a very packed February. So definitely check out the website, VegasPodcasting.com. And we'll be able to show you who all is going to be there as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday. Like I said, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with Jeremy Rice, the director, and Jerry Rice Jr., the star, and star and co-producer of the film 20 Years of Madness from the Sundance Film Festival. Talk to you guys then.